Hallelujah. Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. I don't remember what night it was. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. How many of y'all blessed and glad you're born again? Yeah. Again, it's amazing because it is the supernatural. Everything that breaks all laws is to be born again of the Spirit. You know, when you think about it, to be born again of the Spirit breaks all natural laws. Every area breaks it all. To be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit breaks every law of carnality. That's why the world doesn't understand us. And the only one that can break his own law is God. Amen. Other than that, prior to that, in Ephesians chapter 2, go there for a second. In verse 1, what does it say? And you he made alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, you and I are on death row. Amen? We're on death row. Now, when an individual is on death row, especially a prisoner, he's already been convicted. There's no way out of death row. It's been sentenced to death, waiting to be executed. There's normally no way out. There's delays and so forth. It's the last chance of an individual's life. It's gone here on this planet. Forgiveness can be granted by true repentance, but execution can still come. Amen? There are many people on death row who finally repented. But it's too late for this life here on this planet. Now, they may truly repent and go home to heaven, amen, but this life is over with here on earth because the execution has come. Before death row, there was what we call death road. There's what? Death road. You didn't get to death row unless you were on death road. Amen? So you and I were not only on death row, but we lived on death road. Everything was associated with death. And he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, which was what? Death road. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In other words, we were disobedient to the course, the will, and the decisions of God. We were rebellious towards it. We rejected them. So we were not on the road of life. We were on the road of death. Disobedience is considered rebellion. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Wow. So we walked according to the streets and roads of this world, controlled by and influenced by demon or demonic princes of the power of air to enslave, to deceive, to blind, and position an individual so that they're on death road, awaiting the wrath of God. Think about that. Because of the fruit of rebellion. So you and I are on death road waiting for the execution or the wrath of God. Many are in that condition. Many are in that place. So when you really think about rebellion, the word tells us that rebellion is associated with witchcraft. In other words, there's demonic influence. So when we reject anything from God, it's actually rebellious. Amen? So in this rebellious state, we could be on the road of life, and by being rebellious, come off the road of life and get on the road of death. Because to be rebellious leads to death. That's where children of wrath are associated with, because of rebellion. In Philippians chapter 2, you know, the word says something powerful. It says a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And it takes that simple compromise, which is simple rebellion. Once that compromise starts, the first time, that simple it always ends up to advanced rebellion. Amen? It's advanced compromise, advanced rebellion. You know, whatever you give the devil, he'll take more. That's why it says, make no place for the devil. Why? Don't give him any place. None. And too many people allow a place for the devil. That's all it takes. Is one rebellious towards God. One rebellion against the counsel of God. One rebellion connects to the open door of the enemy. He doesn't come right away and say, "Ha, I got you now." He slowly creeps. Simple. Keeps drawing an individual away from God's presence. Keeps bringing more fear. Keeps making a person more busy. All of these things so that person is finally rejecting God's will. And they don't know it. They think they're okay. Because they pray. Because they read their Bible. Because they listen to teachings. Because they come to church once in a while. But they're really not okay. Let me share something with you, vitally important. Any rebellious towards this Bible, any rejection towards this Bible, what it says, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. Again, people compromise. They're still scheduling their lives around their things instead of God's. Everybody okay? Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5. It says, let this mind be what? In you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hello. Let the thoughts of God Almighty through Christ Jesus. How many of y'all know this is his thoughts too? Be in you. Be in me. Amen. Let these thoughts be in us. Think like him. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. Doesn't the Bible say imitate God as dear children? Amen. We talked about that last day. But made himself with no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant. How many of y'all know you got to be humble to be a bondservant? And coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient to what? To the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that all at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you understand that in the name of Jesus, if you're truly in position, you have access to every area of demonic forces. And in the name of Jesus, they must obey if you're in position. If you're in a rebellious state, they will not. Amen? Does everybody understand? They will not submit to rebellion because they don't have to, because they'd be submitting to themselves. Hello? Oh, praise God. I think we better go a little bit further. Is everybody there? All right. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always, what? Obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out. Everyone say work out. Your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out means cooperate. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his what? Good pleasure. To do his good, to do his, in other words, listen, you know what will is in this? It's his decision. Everyone say God's will is his decision. So you have the decision that God is making for me and you, or you have the decision from the devil. See, he puts us in a place to where that's all he wants you to do is make the choice. Is everybody okay? See, we have a free will to choose. What are we choosing? His decision. See, when we begin to look at the area that God's will is his decision, we either choose to accept his decision and put it into practice or reject it. Now, if God Almighty were right in front of us and Jesus walked up to him and says, you know, this is really my decision. I'd like you to cooperate with it. I hope everybody would say, yes, Lord. Because if you're not going to cooperate with his decision, you're going to cooperate with the devil's. Amen. So when he says here, he says, for it is God who works in you both to will, both to choose his decision and to do for his good pleasure. Then he warns us. He says, you know what? Do all things without what? Complaining. Is that his decision? No. Then it's not his will, is it? What, to grumble and complain and so forth? To compromise, is that God's will? Is that his decision? Does he want us to live a life of compromise? Does he want us to live a life of fear? No, that's not his decision. We got to be looking at is what is his decision? Not what ours is. Not what your emotional decisions are. Not what man's decision is. Not what the world tells you. What is his decision? His decision is his will. When we begin to look at it in that arena, everything changes. Amen? Everybody okay? Oh, praise God. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be become what? Blameless and harmless and children of God without fault in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse generation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. The word of life is his words, and it's his decisions. Does everybody get it? So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. He says, work out, cooperate with fear and trembling. Amen? Fear and trembling of what? His wrath and execution. So there's a place of honor, respect, and reverence. to do his will for his good pleasure. God's will is his decision. Man's will is demonic. It's evil. It's wicked. It's rebellious. There's two roads of decision. One leads to life and one leads to death. We call it the death road and the life road. That's why he says, be blameless, harmless, without fault. Why? Because that's the road of life, isn't it? In the world controlled to death. Everybody says, that person drives me to death. Or the song drives me, or whatever it is. See, the world is driving people to death. That's their purpose and function. So they have a decision called the will of man. Which, when you choose your will instead of his will, you're making your own decision without him. That's why the word says, acknowledge him in all of your ways. Why? So you're making his decision and not your own. Matthew 7. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7. Death Road. Just like Death Row. And I didn't say Jethro. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the what? Narrow gate. How'd you get to the gate? What'd you have to get on? A road. You don't get to a gate without a road. Amen. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, is the road that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, this is amazing. There are few who find it. In other words, there are few who maintain it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. In other words, it can't hold forever. It always comes to light what kind of tree it really is. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. What is the number one fruit we've been talking about? Rebellion. Rebellion is a major fruit. Rebellion towards what? God's cause. His decisions. Amen? Now, things are going to get a little bit tighter because the Lord showed me that he is tightening up in every area. He's shaking what can be shaken. He wants people to be totally sold out to him. People are using God and don't even realize they are. They're not serving him, they're using him. Because if you're really serving him, you set everything around him. Or else you're using him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, is anybody doing the will? Are they rebellious? No. If you're doing the will, you're doing his decisions, right? You're cooperating with his decisions. Then you're not rebellious. Okay? He said, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are without reproach. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What was the lawlessness? They were rebellious towards what his counsel is. They were rebellious towards his decisions. That means they were rebellious towards his will. But they thought they were doing his will, didn't they? Everything seemed to be good. They were getting blessed. All kinds of things were happening. But they were rejecting his true decisions that he wanted for their life. Ooh. Then what does he say? Is everybody okay? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a wise man who built his house on the anointing or on the rock. Amen. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that individual or on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the anointing or on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And a rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So he explains here, there's a death road or a life road to walk on. You can either choose the wicked decision or the righteous decision, what we call divine decision. Everyone say divine decision. You know, when we go to the Lord, we're always asking for his opinion. We're asking for his decision. Lord, show me what to do. Amen. Sometimes he won't answer because that's all you need to do is look it up. In Psalm 143. See, when I was B.C., before Christ, you know, I was convicted in as a younger child of things like the Ten Commandments. I was brought up in a Catholic school, and they emphasized the Ten Commandments. And so, I mean, I couldn't obey them, but I got convicted of them. And as I began to grow up more and more and fell into other areas of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, when my parents would share with me about no sex before marriage, I'd be like, what do you mean? People do this these days. You think you're going to live with someone if you don't know if they're good in bed? I mean, that was my thought at that time. I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life with someone if I was going to, whatever. But that's how the thought is in the carnal arena. That's how the world is still today. I'm not going to get married. What if something changes? What if I don't love them anymore? See, because it's lust, not love. Love suffers long. Hallelujah. I'm trying to remember the rest of it, but forget it right now. That was good enough. Love suffers long. Hallelujah. But that's how the world is these days. It is today. Things have been so loosened up of sin. To sin was good. You know, I mean, I couldn't wait to be rebellious. To me, the rebellion was freedom. But the problem was, it was free to sin. But that was a lie. That influence and that position that was promoted not only on music, TV and everything else, books and everything else, was changing the minds of individuals that at one time would have a conviction of doing these things and then harden the heart, and no longer was there a conviction, and then cooperated with everything else, which put us on death row. But we are on death road leading to death row. Amen. And in Psalm 143 and verse 7, he comes to a place and he says, answer me speedily. In other words, give me your decision. Does everybody get it? Give me your decision. The Lord used to ask me all the time, what do you see? I tell him, whatever you want me to see. He said, he would ask me, what would you do, guy? Whatever you do. Finally, after a period of time, I had to answer him correctly, because he wanted to know if I was going to make the decisions he was. He wanted to know if I was cooperating with his decision. You know, before I'd gotten saved, I'll never forget that. And when I was a mess, and this voice came to me and said, guy, do you want to get off drugs and alcohol, or do you want a new life? And I never considered having a new life. I wanted to get off of drugs and alcohol. But that was, he was giving me a choice of a decision that I wanted off the drugs and alcohol. But his decision was to give me a new life. So I held both of those decisions. And obviously I had some divine intervention, because one was telling me, you're going to go back to being that same idiot you were before if you want to get off of drugs and alcohol. But to get a new life, you'd have to change everything. Everything. You'd have to step into a whole new arena. You'd have to leave everything that you once thought was connected to you, precious to you, everything that you loved, everything you must leave. Everything. And I agreed with his decision. I said, yeah, I want a new life. And he said, show me. Which is another one of his decisions. And I did everything that I could in my own strength to show him. Took 2 months. The first thing I did was checked into a detox. I said, I'm done with this life. I don't want this life no more. I'm tired of lying, hiding, and don't know who I am. Trying to be somebody else. I don't know who I didn't know who I was. I was everything that was on TV, everything that was everywhere but me. And I agreed with his decision. And after a period of time, he came and abducted me. And took me to his house. Hung out in his presence for a little while. And got on the same language barrier. And was never the same. From that point on, I always want to choose his decision. But there's always that influence of a decision to be made. So there is always two decisions, but one choice. Everyone say two decisions, but one choice. One choice, two decisions. One decision leads to life, the other one leads to death. But there's one choice. In Psalm 143, we're going to get there. Verse 7. Hallelujah. Do you sense God is tightening up the reins? You know what I'm saying? He's preparing for us to get something more than what's happening. He wants us to be blameless. He's coming back for a blemish-free bride. It's going to take some tightening up. It's going to take some choices to cooperate with his decisions and not our own. And verse 7, answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me, cause me, cause me. I love that word, cause me. What's he doing? Cause me to agree with your decision. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way or the road which I should, what? Walk on. For I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of the what? Uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul, my thoughts, my choices out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. And what's he saying? Cause me to choose your decision, which is your will. Lead me in the road of life. Destroy all those that influence my choices and promote evil decisions. Decisions are plans. Decisions are plans. When the word says God came in grace and truth, grace was God's plan. It was his decision. Amen. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. I'm telling you, as I began to read this, the Holy Spirit quickened me. He said, people handle my word deceitfully and don't know it. He said, anything that they reject in this word is handling my word deceitfully. And they are not agreeing with my decision. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Why? Because they're on death road. Why? Because they are deceitfully handling the word of God. Why? They're not submitting to every part of it, only what they choose to. But even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded or influenced, who do not follow or believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Wow, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded what? Light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, the knowledge of God is his decision. Think about this. The knowledge of God is his decision in every area of our life. He said, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge, not understanding his decisions. Handling the word of God deceitfully is rejecting his word as law and life. This is rebellion and death road. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14. Is everybody there? Anybody there? Let's read it. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? It's going to lead to what? Death road. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So is he expressing God's decision? Yeah. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people if you do something. If you cooperate with my decisions. If you do what? Come out from among them and be separated. In other words, sanctified, says the Lord. And don't touch what is unclean. Don't agree with what's unclean. And don't handle my word deceitfully. And then I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among the worldly scheduling, paths, roads, ways, associations, decisions, desires, rebellion, rebellious attitudes, and selfish intentions and ambitions, all considered death road. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. That's the road of Christ. That's the road of life. Those are his decisions that we are to cooperate with and choose because we have a free will. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrew. In verse 15. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. I believe we're going to see God's will in a totally different arena tonight. It will no longer just be his will. Oh, Lord, your will be done. No, we're going to cooperate with his decision. In verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their thoughts I will write them. The word says also that he will give us his spirit, and it will cause us to obey. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Why? Because they'll come to true repentance. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated, sanctified for us, set apart, made a place, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a what? True heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. From a what? Evil what? Evil what? Conscience. Conscience. A conscience that is what we call seared, or a conscience that rejects God's decision. And our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering, compromising. For he who promises what? Faithful. And let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, he's expressing to us that assembling is essential. While rejecting assembling, you are rejecting what he's asking. You are now saying, no, I'm not accepting your decision. I'm doing mine. I'm going to schedule everything around my life, not yours. Tighten up. But you don't understand. No, he understands it all. That's a life choice. Everything you and I do, we should be scheduling around his decisions, not ours. Amen? Does everybody understand? I don't schedule anything around anything until I know. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Amen? Believe me, I make mistakes. I repent quickly. See, without true repentance, and I mean true repentance, true repentance says, I'm off the road of death, and I'm getting on the road of life. Anything associated with the road of death is a decision influenced by the enemy. Is a decision that's influenced by yourself, flesh, memory, emotion. And it puts us on a road of death. Didn't say you entered death row yet, but it's on a road of death. And in this road, you become dry. You are dry. See, rebellion always promotes dryness. If you haven't finally decided to finally repent and turn away from what's anything associated, that's rejecting his decision is rebellion, and it keeps a person dry. I don't care how many teachings you listen to. I don't care how many times you come to service. If you are still rejecting his decision, you will stay dry. You can never get refreshed. You may think you did, but you really didn't. I don't care how much dancing. I don't care how much worship you do. I don't care how much crying you do. You will never get refreshed until you cooperate with his decision, whether it's counsel, whatever it is. It's his decision that you and I want to cooperate with. Amen? Is everybody okay? It says, I put my laws in your heart, thoughts to cause conviction and repentance to turn off the death row onto the life road. Again, there's two decisions. There's a rebellious one. Amen. There's the two decisions and one choice. Rebellion is a dry life. Rebellion is a dry life. No matter what you do, it is a dry life. Rejecting any part of God's decision becomes a dry life. No matter what you try to do, until you finally make the choice to cooperate with his decisions. Is everybody okay? In Psalm 68. Hallelujah. In verse 5. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solidarity in families. He brings out those who are bound into what? Prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a what? Dry land. The rebellious dry, what would they dwell where? In a dry land. That means no matter what they do, will not reach its full potential. Rebellious is a dry land. Remember, divine decision is his will. Evil decision is our will. We have one choice to make, one or the other. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed. What's the opposite of blessed? Cursed. Blessed is the man or woman. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because that is an evil decision. Amen. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's all associated with evil decisions. But his light, his delight is in the law or the truth of the Lord. In other words, his word, his decisions. Anything that's his word or his law is his decision. And in his law, he meditates day and night, so he's always considering God's decision. It's no longer about his will, it's about his decisions, which is his will. We got to stop looking at his will before his decision. We need to look at his decisions and correlate that with understanding that that's his will. And his law or his decisions, he meditates day and night. He's always considering God's decision. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water. Praise God. And brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. But the ungodly, the rebellious, are not so. They shall be like chaff, which is dry, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment or the reward, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Or rebellious, when it comes to ungodly, it's rebellious. Shall what? Perish. Chaff is dry, isn't it? Any rebellion against divine desire is called rebellion. His will, his law, his word, his counsel. It brings a person in a position of dry life. No way out until you choose divine decisions and true repentance from turning away from our own decisions. So everybody understand that. Anything that we have done, it has to come under the blood that is offensive to God. In Luke chapter 9. But remember, repentance is to turn away, isn't it? Amen. So what you're doing is you're turning away from your own decisions and you're turning to his decisions. That's what repentance is. Lord, forgive me for submitting and obeying my own decisions. Because my own decisions are influenced by darkness. My own decisions are influenced by lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So there must be a life change where we're exchanging our decisions for his and everything we do. Now we're exchanging our will for his will. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 57. Hallelujah. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road, on the what? The road. That someone said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Uh-oh, a decision, a rejected decision. Does everybody understand that? Jesus said, follow me, and he says, no, wait a minute, I need to go, wrong decision, wrong choice. Remember when Elijah went up to Elijah, and he threw his mantle on him? He said, hold on a second, I need to go say goodbye to everybody and have a party, man. So what have I done to you? He finally got it. Wrong choice. So what did he do? He took the animals. He took the plow, whatever he was using. It was very wealthy because they were wealthy. He tore it all down, used it for, made fire and sacrificed the animals. Then he followed. Right choice. He said, I'm not looking back. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Then he said to another, follow. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. Looking back, not fit for the kingdom. See, they're looking back at self. They're looking back at selfish decisions. They're looking back. They're becoming rebellious to God's decisions. In John 15. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. When he says abide in me, he says abide in my decisions. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, which is his decisions. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? My disciple. So we want to abide in his divine decisions. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then one more. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. What they're going to depart from is God's decisions. Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They will be influenced. Because the Word tells us that many will have itchy ears. Where are these itchy ears coming from? Listening to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, being influenced. Through lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Through money. Through all kinds of other things that the enemy likes to influence in any way whatsoever to promote the will of man, and which is rejecting the will of God or his decisions. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, they are rebellious. They cause rebellion to the divine decisions of God. Amen. And we'll close at 1 John chapter 2. Remember, we do not fight flesh and blood. We always must ask us, who told me that? Who told me that? Who told me that? And where did you come from? First John chapter 2, verse 15. Death Road. Is everybody there? Everybody okay? Really? Reality check. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever, or he who chooses God's decisions abides forever. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. So what is the Antichrist influencing? It's influencing ungodly decisions. Amen. Little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty? Now, if you reject his decisions, are you not denying him? Yes. That's how the enemy stands before God and accuses me and you. He's denying you. What do you mean? But Lord, I love you. But you're not cooperating with his decisions. That's called lawlessness. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Why? Because we are choosing his decisions. These things I've written to you concerning those who what? Try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. If he abides in you. If he's abiding in you. Truly abiding in you. People don't even realize that the anointing has left many of them. Oh, they're still going to church, they're still doing all the other things, but the anointing's left them. Why? Because they're not cooperating with his decisions. They are rebellious. The anointing always brings refreshing. Dryness is the removal of the anointing. Does everybody understand that? But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, in other words, convince you to cooperate with his decisions. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. If you're abiding in him, you're abiding in his decisions. It's that simple. We're either abiding in him or we're not. The anointing is either leading us, guiding us, refreshing us, and filling us, empowering us to overcome any attack. See, in this position, you don't react, you respond. You don't fight for your life. You don't fight for your money. You don't fight for anything. He fights for you. And you schedule everything around him, not you. Amen? That is the difference of following the Lord and walking in the Spirit. We have one choice and two decisions. Each and every one of us, every single day. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we thank you for the warning and preparation. We ask for your mercies and grace to abound abundantly and cause us, Lord, cause us to walk and your decisions. We repent for any rebellious areas, Lord. Help us to align ourselves with your word, with your decisions, with your counsel, with your correction, and with your destiny for each and every one. We commit it all to you, and we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and expose all these areas that we may walk in divine order and divine priority, scheduling everything around you and not ourselves. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Be blessed and stay dressed with the glory.